looking for some inspiration and some fun perspectives today for starting your Asia business, welcome to Global from Asia, episode 106.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome, everybody. Time is just flying by. The year is almost over, and I hope everybody is settling in their last business projects for 2015. 2016 for me is going to be much more event-driven, kind of like offline. I've been doing this online stuff for a couple of years, so we had a lot of fun at the office opening party a couple of weeks ago. Got the audience involved a little bit with the interview and some jokes to keep it interesting. That show is going to be on the next episode, and it'll be a good one. If you are also in Hong Kong and want to check out the next live recording, it's going to be on Tuesday, December 15th at night again, 7 p.m. at the office studio. Yeah, all details can be found out at globalfromasia.com/studio02. All right, and now for this week's show, we have one that is a listener introduced to me. So shout out to Vaughn Hugh for making that connection. Always appreciate suggestions for guests and topics on the show. And this one's a good one. So it's Dr. Julian Hosp. Quite an interesting background and very enthusiastic character that has a passion to help millennials. I know we also have parents here to listen to the show, but I think they can also get a lot out of this. It's very applicable for them as well. So stick around, everybody, and enjoy. Let's go to Julian. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have a fun guest with us today. I'm excited about Julian Hosp. Thanks for being here, Julian.
Hey, Michael. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, we're just kind of getting to know each other a little bit before recording here, and I got introduced to you by a common connection, and really, really excited to read up all about you and your new book coming. So there's so much to share, and you're even younger than me, so you've definitely done a lot with your life, and it's very exciting. So, you know, maybe you can share a little bit. I have some highlights that you've shared on your site that you, in your teens, you were doing pro basketball in Austria, your home country of Austria, and then kite surfing for 10 years and went to medical school and then figured out you didn't like hospitals and started doing business instead, right? And then 2012, you came out here to Hong Kong. And so that's kind of like some really quick bullet points of those massive things you did in your life, which is quite amazing. And did I miss anything? Did I get you correctly there?
That's the crazy ride it's been so
far.
So you're hitting
awesome.
It spot on. Couldn't
awesome.
Have told it better.
Cool, man. Cool. So, you know, I think we're just talking about the listeners of the show, and, you know, I think they match a lot about you. You know, they're hustlers, they're business entrepreneurs or businessmen, businesswomen, thinking about business, either having business already in Hong Kong or thinking about it. So, you know, I'm very curious, maybe we started off is why Hong Kong? What was the inspiration for you to pick the other side of the world and get your business started there?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So that came actually from a very good friend of mine. He was also a professional. He was not a professional kite surfer, but he was a kite surfer who was very passionate about kite surfing. And so while I was professional, I was traveling all over the world. And so I was also in Taiwan, and I met with him there. And he's originally from Switzerland, and he had been in Hong Kong for, I think, 4 years prior to that already. And he told me, man, that city is so awesome. It's so buzzing. It's so awesome. You have to be here. And I was on this total surf trip. So I was, okay, I just wanted to have the beach and all that. And then I started working in the hospital because I had graduated from med school. And I kind of felt like, okay, I have to kind of work in a hospital kind of right now. I'm a doctor, I have to work. And so, but I totally hated it. I was locked up there and I was miserable. And so I told my mom that I'm just not going to do this. And it devastated her. It devastated her so much she wouldn't talk to me. And she was really upset with me. And she said, okay, I have to get as far away as possible from home so that at some point, you know, my mom is going to forget and she's going to be all good. And so, okay, I mean, I was in the US already because that's where I went to high school. And I've never really lived in Asia. And so I called up my friend and said, hey, how does it look? I would really need a place to crash. Can I come over? And yeah, I came over. This was 2012. And at the beginning, it was, I really stayed at his place. And then, yeah, we always had this 2.5 men show kind of fun that I was like Alan crashing at his place and didn't want to leave. So that was pretty hilarious. And then, but then 6 months down the line, I got my own place. And so, I mean, it was, yeah, it was just step by step. So it was pretty fun.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Yeah, I'm with you on coming over here. And also, you know, I totally agree with you not accepting, you know, your normal path that maybe your parents or your, or like society has kind of like scripted out for you, right? So you definitely didn't take the normal route. And also, you know, I guess, you know, you share on your site. So I think I'll bring it up, like, you know, you were close to maybe bankruptcy or maybe you're definitely, you know, by needing a place to crash and, in your friend's place, you know, you're kind of on a tight budget to get over here and get things going. So I know a lot of times people think of that as a reason they can't come out to Asia or they can't do their own business. So, you know, I'm curious on how you kind of got to financial independence in a few years, and maybe you can give us some highlights, you know, and some motivation for people.
Yeah, sure. I was a professional surfer, right? So, and I lived that lifestyle as you could live it. That means always enough money just for the end of the trip and then maybe for the next flight to go to the next best location. And then I made some stupid investment decisions where I thought, okay, I could make some really fast money really quick. And just like it is, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. And yeah, I'm sure. And so, yeah, and that cost me a lot of money. And so when I got into med school, working and then got into the hospital, at the end, I actually was minor. So my bank account, you know, I would have loved to have a zero on my bank account. Wow. And so that was just when I finished, but I had no sense for real business. I had some ideas how business was rolling. But I mean, you know that sentence for sure. You're the average of the 5 people you surround yourself with. And so when I was in Hong Kong, suddenly I had all these business-minded people around me, entrepreneurial people, people who wanted to get stuff done. And so you automatically get inspired with this. And so I had some really great people around me over the last 3.5 years. Who really pushed me. And I mean, Hong Kong is this city where you get up in the morning and you're like all fire and you cannot sleep until 1 a.m. because you're all fire. And at the end, it was a lot of, I think it is a lot of learning along the way. If you only get out of the house when all the traffic lights are green, you'll never get out of the house. So you just get out of the house and you make it all work. And that's how it was for me. I came to Hong Kong, had no real clue how to make it all work. But I made it work over time. And so that was basically the rough path, right? If I look at the bigger picture here.
Awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I like that about the 5 people around you. And that's totally true. And especially in Hong Kong, like a lot of my friends say, I'm talking to this like multimillionaire businessman right next to me in the, at the restaurant. And because there's, you know, it's very, of course, a premier place in the world. And there's a lot of traveling business people coming in and out. So you could definitely meet some very high level people. Maybe share with, sometimes people also get caught with the wrong crowd, not just Hong Kong, but anywhere, you know, of course there's lots of distractions, just like anywhere. So any tips for somebody maybe to find the right people?
Sure. I get this a lot. And I've done a lot of training on that, how to actually do that. And I think this is, if I would be able to teach high school graduates a couple of things that are really simple to execute and have huge impacts on their life, this would be one of the key things, is how to make sure that the people around you are the people where that are going to have a good impact on your life. And that's what actually is going to bring you to the place where you want to be. And so basically what I always do is, I'm very crucial in this. I analyze exactly who is around me and who am I listening to? Who am I influenced by? And we all influenced by our surroundings. So don't kid yourself. I mean, if you think, no, I'm this person who doesn't get influenced by my surroundings, normally you have this attitude from somewhere who already says that, right? So it's really important who you get influenced by. And so I look really crucially, okay, so who are these 5 people around me? Who are these 6, 4, whatever people around me? And I really make sure, do I want to be like them? Do I want to have what they have? So these would be the first questions I would ask myself. And this not meaning in monetary terms necessarily. I know money plays a big role in our lives, but I'm not only talking about money. I'm talking about knowledge, talking about skills, talking about certain mindsets, talking about, this can be also a lifestyle of health, religion, whatever it is, right? So ask yourself, do you really want to go that path? And if you don't want to go that path, then this is the hardest part you can do, but you have to kind of distance yourself a bit and look for people that are more in the direction that you want to go. And then the most natural question is, okay, great. So I have these people already and I don't want to be like them. Where am I going to find these other people? And then, well, I think especially Hong Kong makes it very simple. I mean, there's a lot of meetup events where you can go to. I wouldn't go necessarily to any meetup, but just check if you want to be more entrepreneurial. Well, go to these entrepreneurial meetups. You will meet some people there who are quite entrepreneurial already. And then when you go along the line, maybe you want to also invest some money there, then pay some money to go to higher events. I mean, sometimes I pay for an event, 2,000 Hong Kong dollars. This is an entry fee, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to meet people that are also going to be willing to pay the 2,000 Hong Kong dollars. So their motivation and their inspiration for life is normally quite high compared to an event that's free. And so you just look on the internet and then look on LinkedIn, maybe look for Facebook, and then you try to connect to these people. And that's how step by step by step you work your way until you are in a group of people where you're like, oh, wow, this is just really fabulous.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and something to add to that, I mean, maybe even for myself, but I think others maybe is their self-confidence. I think they got to believe in themselves and feel like they are worthy enough to be friends with higher level people. I think sometimes people in life are like, oh, why would this, you know, person is so much quote unquote better than me really want to be my friend or be in my network. So I think, you know, a lot of times it's just your own self getting in your way of improving your own network. So I would also like maybe to add on that, right? I mean, sometimes just the way you view yourself.
So true. I think one of the key answers you always get from people that have never made it is always like, yeah, but you know, you have no experience in doing this, or but you shouldn't go to this event because it is, I'm really into the blockchain technology right now as an entrepreneurial standpoint. So I really want to, I believe a lot in this technology. And so I went to this blockchain technology event and I had a lot of friends and family back in Austria. Yeah, but go there, you're just going to embarrass yourself. Well, the thing is, if you go to events where you feel totally out of your comfort zone because you don't know anything, these people that are there who, what you call made it, these are people who were in your shoes at one point. They were in your shoes, but they understand it takes this leap of faith to take the step, to be a bit uncomfortable. They understand it because they have walked already what you are about to walk. Whereas people who never dare to do the walk, they will tell you all the things why it's too dangerous or why for you it's going to be scary. But the other people, they will understand that. So they are not going to be the ones looking down on you. If you show the hustle, if you show that you want to make it, they respect you for that. I think that's so, so, so important.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, I liked your answer. Very, very passionate. And it's true, right? You have to start somewhere. And I think it's easier, of course, to say I'm either not good enough or I'm not right for that group than to, of course, get out of your comfort zone, right? And making it happen. So I always love this time of the year, right? It's the end of the year. And I think a lot of times people are reflecting on what they've done since, you know, the beginning of the year and looking forward to next year. So I'm sure there's a lot of people maybe thinking about making the jump over to Hong Kong or to Asia or to start their own business, which, you know, I think really fits your book, The 25 Stories I Would Tell My Younger Self. I know the book covers it in detail, but any drops of knowledge for us to make that change in our life?
To move specifically to Hong Kong or in...
Well, maybe start, you know, maybe, yeah, I guess I'm not so clear with that question, but just in general, I mean, I guess I'm saying more general to make a change to start their own kind of venture. Maybe I'm thinking about the listener that some of the people I talk to are still maybe working in their, maybe in their corporate job, they're not happy, or maybe they're in a hospital, like, you know, working as a after med school, and they're not sure if they're ready to maybe quit the job and do maybe their dream of starting their own business. Maybe, of course, they're probably listening to the show, maybe in Asia.
I mean, it always starts, and I think you hear a lot of people say the same thing, and it sounds so dull, but at the end, it all comes down to, it always comes down to the first question of, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to make a certain change? And I think for most people, the first thing they look at is what they can have more when they do that change. I think that's such a, normally people are not, I researched a lot though, I did a lot of research into what motivates people, right? So how can you get people to do certain things? And I mean, the motivation of fear is so much higher then that motivation of potential benefit. And it's very easy to compare, right? So if you have the option to play a game with me and you have the option to either lose $100 or to win $100 and these ratios are the same, chances are you're not going to play with me because you're too scared to lose $100, even though you also with the same probability could win $100. Right? So I would have to go up exponentially on the probable winning side until you say, you know what, I'm going to be able, I want to do a change because yeah, the reward, the potential rewards are so much higher than my potential losses. So what this means to me is you really have to be clear for yourself. Why do you want to do this? And then the second question or the second answer you have to give to yourself is, are you 100% honest to yourself that you could not always go back to where you came from? Now, I'm going to say that again, because for many people, this is really, they are not honest to themselves about this. Can you really not go back anytime to where you came from? To me, this meant I could have always gone back to the house. And you think if you, okay, I'm never going to get this job. I'm never going to get such a position. I can never go back to that. Most of the times, I'm not saying all the times, most of the times, this is simply not true. So your potential risks of a change, if you really want to do it, are very, very low if you analyze it on a very rational level. Now, I know rational in this case is very difficult. Most of these things are very emotional. So to me, it was always, okay, what is my potential loss and what's my potential upside? And this is the first and key question when I talk about change. So if you want to move to Hong Kong or you want to do something in Hong Kong, the first question that you should ask yourself is, okay, can I always go back or what would I lose? But if I move, I win. What can I change? And once you start rationalizing that, I think it becomes easier and easier and easier to do certain change.
I like that. True. It's totally true, right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? Or, you know, you can probably just go back to where you came from. I remember, I'll put a little bit of some of my own story in here. Like, I was working on Wall Street before I came out here, and one of my colleagues was like, oh, you'll be begging for your job back in a year. And then, you know, like, I always just felt like, yeah, so what? Even if I did come back in a year and try to get my job back, it's probably going to be a lot better a year than it was, like, not trying to do this, right? So, you know, I think it's also, but then I guess I'm thinking just to be a devil's advocate a little bit, is some people are afraid, of course. I think the next one is, sure, I could go back to my old job at the hospital or at the bank or at the corporate job, but then I will have maybe my friends, my peers, my family will see me as a failure. You know, I came out to Hong Kong, or I started my own business, and then I had to a year later, you know, go back and kind of crawl back to where I came from and try to start where I was before. So, which, you know, it sounds pretty harsh, but how would you tell, you know?
I mean, you're hitting the nail on its head. I wrote the book, a tagline book, is the reason why I tell those 25 stories is because in pretty much all those 25 stories, there are some key things to take away. And in many stories, there are certain decisions where I got so much headwind from people around me. This made absolutely no sense. People laughed at me. I mean, I can tell you a really quick story. It's a bit different in this regard. I studied, I was in the US, so I had to study for the SAT, probably you as well, right? When you go to college, you have to study for the SAT.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah. So I had no clue what the SAT was because I came originally from Austria. So I went there, studied for the SAT, and I was always good in math, but my English was horrible. So I had to study the vocabulary. And so I literally studied the dictionary, vocabulary is up to speed. And so I studied for 7 weeks straight, I think hours every day, just vocabularies, how to use them and so on. And people called me crazy. They said, this is way not worth it. This is so silly. This is so stupid. Well, I took the SAT. I performed really well. I was among the top 1% in the country. I got accepted to literally any college I wanted to go to. Well, what ended was I didn't go to college in the US because I started becoming a kite surfer. So many people said, hey, what? This is so stupid. You studied all this time. There was no point in doing this. You wasted all this. You could have played more basketball, whatever. Well, what happened was, I learned so much through that studying that later on it allowed me to study medicine at the same time while traveling the entire world. So my point being is, many people see one individual project and they say, you know what? you moved to Hong Kong, quit, or you started your own business and you tried for a year, for 1.5 years, or how long, and then you quit. Oh my gosh, you're such a failure. But this is the biggest crap I've heard, because you need to see the entire big picture. So what's your entire big picture for your life? If your entire big picture is, I want to get this company off the ground because I just want to do this business, or I just want to do this and this is my life's purpose, then of course, I mean, discussing whether you fail or not is quite difficult, because if this is your own, but you care fighting for, you don't care about leaving your legacy, you don't care about trap, whatever. So if this is your only purpose, of course, you might be able to call it a failure, but chances are very slim that this is your entire sole purpose in your life. You will do this, you start your own business, not because you want to do this one single business for whatever. You do this for a different reason. You do this because you want to be financially free. You do this to provide for your family. You do this because you want to leave a legacy. You want to have your name written into stone, whatever you want to do it. So the question, if it's not this business that's going to get you to your big why, then you need to see this as a learning lesson. And once you understand that part, you will understand that when you have people telling you, oh my gosh, you're such a failure, then you can be, and this is me really straightforward, I can tell people, listen, you see this is just a of my entire book. Yeah, but this chapter was necessary for me to open my next chapter, because the skills I learned, the experience I got, they are crucial. Otherwise, I cannot try something that's actually going to bring me to my big reason. And I think that's such an important thing for people to see. They look way too small. They don't see the larger picture from the entire life perspective.
I love the way you say it, Julian. And it's true, right? Like, there's a lot, everybody can be a critic. I think there's lots of quotes about that. It's always easy to look at someone else's life and make a judgment from what you look on. But of course, the person is such more valuable, you know, rich life and the chapters. I remember I was having some tough love things in New York, and my neighbor was, I was kind of talking to her, having some coffee in her apartment, and she says, like, it's your life, yeah, like, is a book, and you just have maybe some bad chapters and you have some good chapters, but the book as a whole is going to be a great thing. So I think that's a good way to think about it, is that your life, you know, is not just one thing, like you said, right? And it will lead you to so many different things, and you just got to get outside of the box, and you just got to be willing to maybe, you know, of course, be scrutinized by others, and potentially getting outside of the, you know, the script of life that's set for you, but it will lead you to amazing places, like you and I have also been. So it's really great.
So right. I read a lot. I believe a lot in reading you as well, probably. And I do a lot of audiobooks and podcasts. Yep, yep. And so one of the people, especially from leadership perspective, who inspired me the most was Winston Churchill, who was the prime minister in the UK during the Second World War. And one of the qualities that he had, I mean, he had a lot of misqualities, but one of the qualities was, and I don't know anyone who defies that, is he did not care even one single bit what people said or cared about him. He was ruthless when it came to making a decision that was in the best of the country and having everyone against him. And I think at the end, this is what every other leader, every other person who really makes it to something, they see one failure, just like you said, one chapter of the book, but the entire book is not written yet. And so that is so important, in my opinion.
True. It's hard. I mean, you know, I think it's easier said than done to not care what others think, but it's something it's an acquired skill, right? And you have to keep working at it, depends on your person's personality too. But
no, I mean, and it the funny thing is, right, you hear it over and over again, and I would tell you a funny story. So 2 weeks ago we released a book, and I mean, it was a huge success. Well, it doesn't take long, 3 days later I had like a 2-star review on Amazon from someone that with a fake name that just like basically bashed me and my book and whatever, right? And so I sat there and I was up in flames, and I was so close on just going there and just typing a comment and just replying to that person. What a freaking moron that person is, right? With the point of opinion. And I mean, if it wasn't for my girlfriend, who basically closed down my computer and said, you're not going to reply there. Stop putting oil into the fire. This person is just trying to criticize you. The person is just trying to nag on you. Don't listen, right? Forget that.
Yep.
I mean, it's hilarious. Even when I know all these things, you fall back into that old pattern. It's hilarious.
Exactly. I mean, thanks for sharing that too. I think it helps with listeners to see it happens to even you and to me and everybody, right? Not just a lot of people think it only is them that, you know, has these thoughts. But of course, it sucks to hear, you know, to have critics, and especially ones with, you know, like, it's easy to, especially with internet, you can hide behind your fake name and pick on somebody that's putting themselves out there on, you know, in the public light. But yeah, I mean, we got to ignore this. It's just a minority, right? So I get stuff like that too. Yep. And we just gotta try our best to ignore it. So
I think the key is always, I think people need to listen to these stories. They need to hear that other people are just the same way. It doesn't change. And people feel sad about this. I mean, I once read a really great blog post from Tim Ferriss, and he wrote it. I think the blog post was titled "How a 4-Hour Blog Post Revealed How Critics Really Are." And he shares about how he takes 4 hours to reply to one critic. And he really tries to rationalize everything because he was so insulted and hurt with this critic. And he writes this really long post, and then takes him 4 hours. And then the critic just replies, "Douche."
Yeah.
Right. And so he says, you know, this was when he understood again, oh my gosh, don't just accept that this is how the world is. You will always have a percentage of people always be your critic. So you just have to accept it. But I think people need to hear these stories, because I know how it is. You listen, you read to this, and you're like, yeah, for sure, for this person, they had a lot of resistance. And then suddenly you are in this position and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the only person who gets all this resistance. No one else has that. Yeah, if you have never heard the other stories, you believe that. But actually, it is the same for literally anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So yeah, guys, get out there and I think make mistakes and fail, or you know, not be afraid to fail, because, you know, we can call failure maybe not be what result we wanted, but it's always going to lead us closer to what we do want in the long term. So cool. This has been a great talk so far. And there's so many things I come into my mind to talk with you about, but we have limited time, and we're talking about, you know, college, I think, is a big one. I think, of course, anybody can read your book, but maybe also it's for the younger self, maybe the college attendee or student. And, you know, a lot of times school is not reality, right? It's this kind of like a little bubble that you're in, and you have your friends and your teachers and your studies. But, you know, to get to real life, you definitely cover that in the book. And how do you, you know, how do you think about college in general? Is that something that's, you know, there's always Zuckerberg that drops out of college, and others, Steve Jobs and such. Is that something? I mean, I guess it depends on the person and their goals. But, you know, what is your feeling on college in general?
I mean, I want to keep it short as well, because
Exactly. This can be a long.
Yeah. So I'm really clear on this. I think college is just a means of having another tool that might help you or might not help you. I believe it helped Mark Zuckerberg to get where he is, even though he didn't graduate. I think the graduation per se is not necessary, but without him being in Harvard, I don't think he would have had the right environment and the right connections and so on. Literally Harvard connection, right, to get Facebook off the ground. And I think Steve Jobs says that, right? He was there, and otherwise he would have never learned calligraphy. So,
yep, you're right,
and
you're
I think this is for the same thing. So if you are in college, personally, I'm a big believer in completing something, not quitting for no reason. So if you have a clear reason why college makes no sense, then go for it, quit. But for me, I'm a big believer in finishing. I finished college even though I was not 100% sure what I wanted to. And I'm happy I did. So to me, it's, you see it as a means, don't see it as an essential. I think that's the key point to this.
Cool. Yeah, I like that answer. And then your motto is awesome. There's no work-life balance, it's just hustle. Can you maybe give us some insights on that? I like...
Yeah, to me, it's how you do one thing is how you do anything. So to me, I will always do over 100%. I will do this 100%. So to me, the work-life balance is like, okay, if you have a work-life balance, that means you're not willing to give 100% in your work. So if I work, I work, and I hustle, and I hustle, and I hustle, and I hustle. I will outwork. I mean, I'm not the most talented person, but I'm really hardworking. I'll out-hustle most of the people. So that's really of a key principle. But then, so the reason why I have this motto is, if I do have holidays, then believe me, I'm 1,000,000% on holidays. I'm not much on holidays. Last year it was 10 days. I was in Thailand. You will not reach me. You will not hear from me. You will not get a reply, because I'm 100% on holidays and I need that. And so I think that is the key thing. The biggest challenge with people is if they try to do these mixed things, 30% this, 20% that. Yeah, this, especially entrepreneurs have that, right? The shiny object syndrome. So they always run after something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's do one thing, go all in 100%. And that to me comes for work-life balance as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. Thanks for that. So now let's, you know, we've kind of chatted a little bit about it in the interview, but the book specifically, the 25 things you tell your younger self, maybe what inspired you to write this and who should read it?
So definitely target group are, and I have this in the book as well, or on the title, in the subtitle, is basically millennials. I mean, to me, it's the people, it's the age group is 18 to 33, 34 years old. People who are in college, graduated from college, are thinking whether this is their right path. If their professional path that they're on is the right path, maybe they should try something that's outside of what they're used to. I wrote that book because I know out of own experience how difficult it is to make certain decisions that you know you want to make, but you're sometimes scared to do them. And you're scared to do them because you don't know what's on the other side. And you have so many people who try to keep you where you are. And innerly, you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated. I would have this dream of, I don't know, starting my little orange shop business in Bali, but I'm too scared to do it. Well, this is what it's not about, right? It's really about getting your friends together, becoming an entrepreneurial group, having fun and getting this out and growing a business, scaling a business. And I think this is what these 25 stories are about. It's about inspiring people to take those decisions that they would normally be too afraid to make because they haven't heard of other people enough that make such crazy decisions. So that's what these 25 stories are about. Definitely not for, I have a lot of readers who are parents, just like we talked about prior to the recording, where actually the target group is 18 to 33 or something, but then you suddenly have parents who read that just so they understand it better. So of course cool, I have cool. That, but my key target group would be where I can share my own experience. I don't want to talk about something where I have no experience in, right?
Got it. Cool. So thanks again, Julian, and really feel your passion in this interview. So of course, how can people find your book and more about you online? Where is the best places to go?
Two places. Best is my book's website. It's 25 stories. So that's 25stories.org, O-R-G. Everything is there. It's like a one-stop hub. And for me to connect is best on Facebook. That's facebook.com/25stories, 25 stories. I spend most of the time on Facebook. So that's best places for me to connect.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks again, Julian. And that's a wrap.
Michael, thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Julian, for coming on. Boy, that was a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoyed. And I'm going to try to get him into our studio recording one of these times at TST office. But with the holidays coming up and traveling, we have to push that back to 2016. I'm sure we can get him back on and it'll be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. So more on in-person meetups. I know I've been talking a lot this show, but save the date, April 16th to 17th, 2016, you know, about 4 or 5 months away from now. The Globe from Asia is going to be having its first annual summit. So hopefully going to do this every year. This will be the first one. And we're going to get the venue at Tencent in Shenzhen at the IT Park, one of their headquarters, and settle in all the details. It's going to be a great way to grow your network and experience to do business in Asia, China. We're going to get people from both mainland China as well as around the world. It'll be around the trade show season, so you can stop by if you're going through trade shows. I have early bird prices, so if you want to step up and buy ahead, you'll save money. But not only that, you will help me out, and my wife's helping me a lot with this to kind of make those upfront payments for venues and everything else. So if you want to check out all the details, learn more, go to globalfromasia.com/GFA, that's Global from Asia, Summit 2016 for 2016, GFA Summit 2016. All right, guys, that is it for today. Happy holidays. Let's just appreciate lives that we have, our families, our friends, and, you know, we're really just blessed that in today's information age, we can connect with each other just like this podcast, and I'm meeting amazing people from around the world. And if you ever want any show notes, we always keep them as detailed as possible. You can get on the blog and links and pictures and things like that at globalfromasia.com/episode106. That's it for this time. And thanks for sticking with me all the way to the end. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.